Okay, good morning. Today's class is in the merit of the healing of Heleni Orna Bat Chen Chana, also in Refu Shlema of all the soldiers, also in the merit of the hostages, God willing, coming home, and the success in Yashomai Elisheva, Namah Gadi Elvin Elisheva, Emet Elisheva, Shepa Elisheva, Shepa Gadi Elvin Elisheva, and Reina Malkava Tova Basha, also in the success, and also the Nishman Yerchmi of the end of the Gaya. God willing, we have the event, the May event in LA and June event in LA. Friday's podcast is going to be the podcast that we did in Eretz Yisrael, and that is going to be posted. Very excited about that. Today's class, we're going to talk about the connection between the woman and Geula. A lot of people ask, how do women bring Geula? When we're talking about masculine and feminine traits, we're not just talking about masculine, feminine. There's a masculine part of you and there's a feminine part of you. The feminine part of you is obviously your emotions, your ability to envision things, your ability to use your imagination. We take this book also, the same concept from Rabbi Pinson. So he basically says in here is, we spoke about Miriam yesterday. We spoke about Miriam and what she did and her constant strength was to be able to turn the bitterness in life and to turn it into a manifestation. And that is ultimately what we're all trying to do here. Miriam lives in a present that is magnetically pulled forward by the future. And we speak about women generally. Women are connected to the moon. The Shekhinah is connected to the moon, where the male is connected to the sun. Okay? So the thing is this, the sun itself never changes. Right? Nothing is new under the sun. We heard that term, nothing is new under the sun. Yes, because the sun never changes, but the moon itself is constantly changing. And the problem with the sun is the sun is connected just to limitations. That means this is what you're going to get. The moon is always changing. So what we're talking about here, the concept of the making and owning time. And the reason why is because how did somebody declare when the moon came out? Two witnesses came out, and they found, even if they found a little bit in the moon, they declared it. That means the whole point is, even with ourselves, because our lives are constantly changing so much, our relationships are changing so much. They're full. They're half of it. There's always such a shift that we're always have to, at the end of the day, recognize that things can get better in a blink of an eye. We can never come to the resolution that this is the way it's always going to be. That is the Greek mindset. That is the Teva mindset. We always have to believe that things can change in a blink of an eye. And this is why if you look at the word paro, the name paro itself, which represents a stubborn ego, is the numerical value of 355 from the Shalach HaKodesh. What does 355 represent? Shana, year. So it also represents, this is my year. I had a bad year. This is going to be my year. What are you talking about? You can change every day. You can change every hour. Everything can be changed. There's no such thing. We're not set by this is who you are, this is fate, etc. No, we can constantly change it. And this is exactly why it says the sun knows its setting and its movement, but the moon does not. This is a famous Gemara, Rosh Hashanah 25, to the concept that things can always change. One prayer can change your life. Everything can change in a blink of an eye, etc. And we have to actually live like that. You have to actually always live that things can change. My relationship can change in a blink of an eye. I mean, I've witnessed things in my life that have changed in a blink of an eye, like from the worst to the best in a blink of an eye. And like, how in the world, how is this possible? Yes, because to other people who don't believe in the system, they don't, how is it possible? Because without faith, nothing is possible. But with faith, everything is possible. So we can decide, you know, our job really is to let go of the work of the mind, is to let go of the rationalization and et cetera. And the whole concept of Judaism, I posted a thing yesterday, is to recognize all our, Judaism is to live above limits, is above the rationality of the mind. To the extent that we do that, we see miracles in our lives. Sun, masculine, predictability, strict logic. Moon represents femininity, possibility, imagination. Everything in the world, masculine, female, has a counterpart. There's a great light of the sun, and the same thing, the moon. And like the moon, what the moon does is the whole purpose of the moon is to constantly create that new life, the new moon in ourselves. So the Gemara tells us, because of the woman, Kol Yisrael is going to redeem, is going to merit the redemption. In the merit, in the reward of the righteous woman who redeemed from Egypt. It was because of the emunah of the woman that inspired men to soldier and continue to procreate, creating hope and possibility for this generation. Think about how that is not. Think about how this is not been present today. Think about the opposite. The women are becoming too masculine. And the men are becoming demasculated. So think about how we have to go back to the woman. When you see a guy struggling, when you see somebody struggling, when you're not making enough money, you're not doing this, you're not good, you destroy the guy. Women have 10 measures of speech. 10 measures of speech came to the world. 9 of them came to woman. A woman's words can make or break her husband. A woman's words can make or break her husband. And I'm telling you right now, the woman itself, when you see, specifically, when you see people struggling, that's the time to get underneath the table with them. That's the time to build rapport with them. It's not the time to tell them, you are a turkey, and you're eating underneath the table, and you're destroying my life. And that's not how you bring a geula. You need to bring a geula by building the guy up also. Yes, but just kind words. That is your tikkun, is kind words and believing your husband also. It's not today where, again, the numbers are ridiculous. 70% divorces, this is not happening. It's the opposite. And they're not happier, by the way. It's not like they're walking out of there with a smile. They're walking out of there with control, etc. And again, I get the whole picture, but let's go back to basics. What's going to bring the geula is that imagination and that woman, the strong woman. The strong woman, we say this, Eishes Chayil, the strong woman, not the Instagram woman. At the end of the day, do you want a woman to mention you in your story or do you want a woman to pray for you? I mean, that's the key. The Gemara tells us at the time that the woman would go to the river, they draw the water, they what happens, they would pick small fish, and through the fish, they would see that they would have two pots, one fire with hot water to wash their husbands and the other one to feed them fish. They would prepare for their husbands because they knew that their husbands were at the field. They would bait their husbands, feed them, give them that inspiration. Not only were they doing that, but the men did not want to have kids. What did they do? They specifically took mirrors and those mirrors to beautify themselves so they could be aroused. And because of that, they revised men and they ended up having children. And those same copper mirrors, were used in Mishkan. As to wash hands, the copper laver. So you could see the power of intention. Forget Lahavdil, Wayne Dyer, and all these guys. And this has been happening. The power of a person's intention. Even if a person sometimes sins, but his higher purpose is good, that is a sin for higher intention. The woman revitalized the men. They gave them energy to be intimate, to love them, to feel unity. They inspired them and they gave them new life. The men were completely knocked out. They were completely knocked out. What did Paro do at the end? You know what he did? He demasculated the men. How did he do? He had them do women's job, and he had the men do what? He flipped the jobs. The men did women's task, and the women did man's task. So you could see this area in our lives. The proper role, the proper sun, the proper moon is very, very important in our lives today, and how much of that is affecting relationships today. Women are also associated with the world of imagination, specifically the reflection in the mirrors. The Jewish people in Egypt possessed these copper mirrors. They would adorn themselves, and these became part of the Mishkan. So the whole point is a mirror creates an image, the mirror creates possibility. Women's emunah with their mirrors of imagination created holy enticement and inspired their husbands that were beaten down and created a spark in order for them to have children and revive them. And this is where he's saying all redemptions of Kol Yisrael through history, including the future redemption, came through women. How do we know this? We know this from Batya. We know this from when she reached out for Moshe. We know this from Moshe Yochevet. We know from who else? Esther. Esther, the redemption came from Esther, right? The Yehudis, the redemption came from Yehudis also. Remember, she killed that the Greek for the Hanukkah miracle. These women fully experienced the harsh decrees against the Jewish people. They suffered, as did men. However, their bitterness led them to the miracles. So a strong woman is the key. A person, strong woman. Now, what is this also? What are we also talking about here? Miriam had the ability to also manifest. She already had. She already brought these mirrors with her. She already brought them. Sorry, the tambourines and etc. Celebrating. So also for us, we can develop also the feminine qualities in ourselves as men also, and start becoming more emotional with our tefillot, with our prayers, with our work, with our spiritual work. We have to become more emotional, and we have to be able to remember to the biggest tikkun is to switch the desire to receive into the desire to give. That is the tikkun of the tikkuns. That is the ultimate tikkun. Not to give for taking, but to give unconditionally. When you're doing that, you are able to lift each other up. And when you do that, when you're up, you help your wife. When your wife is up, she helps you. And that really is what brings Shefa to the world. That's what brings Shefa to the cup. Instead of today, we're too busy. What are we doing? We're judging. We're projecting. We're not doing the inner work. We all have that power inside of us that's destroying everything. We have to start doing the inner work. Only through doing the inner work can you really change. I'm telling you right now, you don't do the inner work, you cannot change anything. Because why? You were born with an evil inclination. And if you don't have a Torah, you cannot break a habit. Period. Reb Natan tells us this exactly. You know what he tells us? He says, take a matzah. If you break a matzah, what are we doing? Motzi matzah? We break the matzah into what? Into two. He says, you have one addiction. All of a sudden, you fix that addiction. What's going to happen? Another one comes up. That means just going from one addiction to another addiction doesn't mean you are in a heightened consciousness and you're clean. It means you're just escaping some other way. The opposite is through prayer and higher consciousness, you're no longer, you have a spiritual awakening. You no longer need anything. So that's why it's extremely important. So he's saying here, five steps to freedom. Within Yetziyah Mitzrayim narrative, we can all glean on these five stages of liberation. The first step that you have to have in order to free yourself in anything is you have to stop being complacent with your current circumstance. That means you have to get out of the comfort zone and saying, this is okay. It's okay. I can live like this. I can deal with mediocrity. We need to start saying enough is enough and cry out to God with steps towards getting to the next point. We spoke about that yesterday. You have to taste the bitterness and you have to say enough is enough. Enough is enough. When do we say enough is enough? When do we stand up with boundaries? When do we say enough is enough? We have to say enough is enough, just like Israel is doing. Enough is enough. I don't care what you have to say, Biden. We're going to do what we need to do. Enough is enough. That's it. We're going to take care of Rafa. We're going to finish this job. Enough is enough. Before, you have the whole world telling you what to do. You understand? That is the key. Enough is enough. The second step is we need to access Amunah and believe in the possibility of a better future. Like we said yesterday, believing in the better future. Miriam and the woman inspired Amunah in the miraculous and the possibility of future freedom. That's a step two. Enough is enough. Step two, believe in it. Step three is connected with the mirrors and imagination. Not only believing in the possibility of miracles, but envisioning them with a brighter future. Like Miriam and other women, they need to see from a distance and look towards the mirrors of imagination of a new reality. Of a new reality. So that's the third step. Third step is believing it. Third step is now put it into vision. The fourth step is reflected in the mitzvah of Magid, telling the story of exile and redemption, especially on Pesach night. It is not enough to hope and have faith, but to even imagine yourself in a picture of redemption, we need to verbalize it. That's why we speak. Remember, our life comes down to, and the fifth step, this is why our life really, really comes down to disorder and order. We're all in a form. Sometimes in our lives we're in disorder, and sometimes we're in a life of order. Egypt, when we were in Egypt, we were in complete disorder. We were in the 49 steps, and God took us out with a light that we did not deserve. So what happens? Through the Seder, why do you think you need to have, what's the purpose of the Seder? Is because you got out of, you were in so disorder, now you have to have a Seder in order. A Seder means order, right? So think about it in your life. The areas of your life where you have no discipline, The only solution is to have discipline in those areas. You have to have your own seder. They ask you, hey, what's your schedule look like? I ask people, what's your schedule look like? Before they tell me their problems, what does your schedule look like? This is a disorder schedule. You have no shot of winning here. You have no shot of winning. Your order, when your seder becomes an order, your life becomes an order. When you start having the right habits where you don't care if it's sunny day, hot, cold, you're going to do what you need to do because your discipline is you're living from the inside out, not the outside in. That's where life comes to order. And God says measure for measure. You're struggling to have order. I'm going to put your life in order. Not control, but to have that order and to have that discipline in life. Discipline is the greatest freedom. Discipline is freedom. No discipline, there's no freedom. So discipline is freedom. If we have to think of it, we don't need Jocko Williams to tell us that discipline is freedom, right? But that is what the world is suffering. And look at the new movement that you see today, right? What is the new movement today? You see him. You see also. Peterson. Goggins. So all everybody's loving it because they know deep down inside discipline is freedom, and a lack of discipline is lack of freedom. So that's where we have to struggle. And I always say to myself, either I'm going to pay the price now or I'm going to pay the price later. But if I suffer right now, Rav Nachman says very simple, if you're not willing to suffer a little bit, you will suffer a lot. Nobody's saying that the little suffering is not going to happen. You have to go through a little suffering, but it'll save you from other suffering. But if you're not willing to suffer a little, you will suffer a lot. And that is, again, the price of that. The fifth step is actually leaving Egypt and courageously setting off on a journey to the unknown. Kol Yisrael marched onto the unknown as they left Egypt in the desert with no provisions. On a deeper level, they followed Nachshon. What did Nachshon do? He took action. And he surrendered the results. So that's the whole point of this whole Seder, is to get you to a point where you build trust. You see the whole thing from post-traumatic stress to post-traumatic growth, and now you're ready to conquer. But if we don't have, when we're knocked out, like we said before, when your emotions are weak, you need to use your head. You need to use your intellect to calm you down. But most of us is when our head is cold. Most of us, when our head is too cold, we don't know, we're stuck. Well, you need to use your emotions to fuel you. You understand? Your relationship is cold, we need emotions. We don't need more intellect and rationality why this relationship is cold. You know, we already know that. So you have to have the balance of both. You have to use your intellect. When you're very emotional, you have to calm down with your intellect. When you're completely out of, when your emotions are all over the place, aka Moroccan style, you need to calm down with your head. So both of us need that. So in this case, the Jews, they couldn't breathe. They were knocked out mentally. They were knocked out. They were the kotzer ruach. They had to use their emotions. Miriam had to use their emotions. Women had to arouse emotion, arouse desire to leave, arouse a wanting a better life. And this is exactly what we have to do, but as practicality also on this end, on for women themselves, men sometimes, you know, there's times where men have tough times, and that's not the time to tell them, you know, to butcher them or demasculate them. That's the time to build them up. You have to build them up, and I've seen too much gevura right now. Rav Nachman says the only way you really can help others is by loving them and giving them to them. Not by criticism and critique. That doesn't work. Today, it does not work. You know when it stopped working? When God created the world out of din. That means, what is the practicality? Is God originally created the world only from judgment, from din? Because people would be on such a spiritual level that right away they would get the lesson and grow from it. But today, people cannot handle the din. They cannot handle the judgment. They need chesed. That means today, it's not enough to tell the guy, hey, you're a drug addict, get out of bed, let's go, make something of your life. Okay, you got it. Where do I sign? That's not happening today. Okay? It's just not happening today. People need warmth. They need patience. They need not to be judged. They need to do it on their own, but they need through love. That's what today. You have to know how to blend chesed and gevura today. You have to know, and the chesed should be much more than the gevura today. If the gevura is more chesed, that means there's a lot of stuff in your own childhood that you never dealt with. That you had too much gevura in your life. You understand? In our lives, in our childhood, if we have too much gevura, if we have too much justice, we then all of a sudden we take the justice on others. So if you have to fix that. But if you had love, you would automatically have. Basically, we show up with what we have. But this is exactly what this is telling us here. So again, as a woman, as a male, develop your feminine qualities of emotion, of dreaming, of the moon, of possibility, and as a woman naturally have this. When women don't have this anymore, it's because there's too much gevura. But they naturally have the ability to pick people up. And when they're not doing it, it's because they're getting sidetracked. Maybe you're watching Instagram too much and comparing your life to other people's lives, and that's not giving you hope. And that's what's happening today. The people are coming to compare. They're coming to compare, and it's leading them to despair. You compare, you will despair. Nobody has the same lane. Nobody has the same test. Nobody has the same... Everybody has a whole different test. Your test could be wealth. Another person's test could be something else. There's a great line. This is what men are loyal when they have money. Women are loyal when he doesn't have money. Women get tested with loyalty when he doesn't have money. So you could see when a man has money, that's where his loyalty gets tested. When he doesn't have it, women get tested to see if she's going to stay with the guy. But again, you have to be able to be like Mary, to lift. Imagine today. Think about that practicality in your life. Can you lift people up when they're down? Can you give them a hope? Can you give them a kind word? That's the tikkun today in this generation. That's why the woman will bring Mashiach. That's why women will bring Mashiach. They'll bring it through love, through caring, through hope, not through criticism, resentment, comparing. That's not bringing a geula. That's bringing destruction today. What geula? Where is the geula here? It's a beautiful thing saying I love geula. I love redemption. This is breaking your nature. Do you understand? You want a geula? You want a redemption in your life? You need to break your nature of instead of making a comment to your house. Don't say it. Make a nice comment. Remember, your tikkun is speech. Woman's tikkun is speech. Their problem is speech. They had 9 measures of it. So you just say a nice word instead of saying the opposite word when you normally would criticize. That is breaking your nature. That's like a guy telling him to stop, looking at something when he's not supposed to. You think how hard that is? You see how hard that is? It's equivalent. The both tests are equivalent. So we need to understand each other. And again, you could see today the most men leave relationships out of emotions because they're not being emotionally taken care of. They check out and they go to some girl that will give it to them. And that's destroying marriages a lot. So let's not believe that this Egypt concept is something, thousands of years ago. This is today, my friend. This is today. And remember, we're all dealing with the stubborn ego, which is Paro. That's the stubborn ego that we're all dealing with today. He's the ego. It's the ego that we're dealing with, and the ego is very stubborn. Why is the ego stubborn? Because it makes sure you have a very small perspective. If you have a small perspective, that means you have a big ego. If you have a widened perspective, that means you have a healthy self-esteem. That's the... Your perspective is your indication of your self-esteem. And self-esteem and ego go hand in hand. When one goes up, the other one goes down. When one goes down, the other one goes up. When I start becoming more open-minded, my self-esteem goes up. When I become very small-minded, my ego goes up. People tell you I'm too sensitive. I'm too sensitive to hear those words. Sensitive is saying I have a big ego in a very nice way. We have to be open-minded because at the end of the day, we don't want to be slaves anymore. Have a great day. Wow.